Today on The Journey.
The teaching part of that really comes before the event ever occurs. It's talking with your child.
Great point.
So that they know, what would my mother and father think of me being involved in this situation? And feeling open enough that they can tell you.
Manners. Really, what do they have to do with good character? How do they impact a soul and society for God's glory? Well, today, Ron Moore and his special guest continue an examination of 6 ways to build respectful attitudes in your family, attitudes that mirror the kindness and character of God. Before that, I want you to know about Living Grounded. It's a fully illustrated, interactive study of the foundational truths of the Christian faith. Living Grounded is available at ronmoore.org for a gift of any amount. Your gift will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron to introduce his guest for part 3 of their discussion titled, Respect, On the Journey.
Well, welcome to The Journey, where we're involved in a special series on parenting. And joining me in this series is Dr. Bob Fredo, who has worked with children and parents for over 30 years. And it's been great to have you, Bob, on this series regarding parenting.
I've enjoyed the time and the conversation on one of the most important topics we have today.
So let's talk about 6 ways to teach respect. These are on our blog, ronmoore.org. You can go there and you can click on parenting and you can look at this mentoring and modeling respect. But we want to go over it here now. So Dr. Fredo, start with the first way a parent can teach respect to his or her child.
It's important to use positive talk to teach pro-social character traits. It comes down to communication. Our words mean a lot. They're weighty in that, again, remember that children will imitate us. It also conveys our attitudes and our beliefs about a variety of things. So it's very important to use pro-social talk. So what we mean by that is positive talk. One way to describe that is to show what not to do. Mm-hmm. So it's important to avoid the use of sarcasm. Really prevalent in our culture with the media being so pervasive today. You can find a lot of wisecracking people, whether they're on the news or television and so forth, or in real life, transfers over real easily. But sarcasm can be a pattern of communication in a family that transfers down to a small child, which doesn't resonate real well in the school or in public life and doesn't reflect really great on the family. And certainly when parents hear their child sometimes talking like they do in an adult circumstance, they're disappointed to start to realize that the children are picking up those speech patterns. Right. So that's not positive talk in most cases. It requires a higher level of interpretation.
So words do mean something. The proverb says, reckless words pierce like a sword. Let's go to the second one.
So we know what to avoid, but here's what to do. Let's speak with clarity. Giving directions, let's let them be clear. Our expectations and instructions should be clear. Sometimes our children will listen to exactly what we tell them to do, mm-hmm. and then we're upset because they did that. But right. our expectations were clear. What we communicated was not what we really wanted. So just really being thoughtful about communicating directions and expectations is something that helps the relationship. It helps the child to be successful. It helps for the family life to flow in a more positive direction. That way it avoids conflict and it promotes harmony. Another example of that would be, you know, just a simple thing for most families is kids, put your clothes away. And that could be a source of frustration. So just say, please put your clothes in the dresser. It's pretty clear. If you need to be more specific, but tell them what the expectation is. Let's not allow our frustrations to come out and say, Johnny, for the 99th time, with an air of frustration about it, mm-hmm. because it really doesn't matter. After you say for the 99th time, you're not really being respectful or conveying a respectful right. attitude right. of expectation.
And part of the respect is then having consequences when Johnny doesn't put the clothes in the dresser drawer when he's supposed to, because part of respect is honoring a mother or a dad who's done the laundry. And if Johnny doesn't put them in there, that's showing disrespect that he doesn't get these washed, folded clothes into his dresser.
Right. So Johnny might say, can I go outside and play ball now? Sure, that'd be great as soon as your clothes are put away. So that expectation didn't go away when the opportunity came about.
Right. As you're saying this, I just remembered the other day, our youngest daughter, Mackenzie, was mowing the grass. And so I've got 3 gas cans sitting there. One's a big one that I go get a lot of gas, so I don't have to keep going back and forth to the gas station. And then one is a smaller one that I can handle and get gas in the lawnmower. And then the other one is for the weed eater, and it's mixed with oil. So Mackenzie ran out of gas in the mower, and I just said, put some gas in the mower.
Uh-oh.
Well, she did. But it was the one mixed with oil. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, are you serious? You put that in there. Thankfully, I caught it. We had to go drain the gas tank in the lawnmower. But I just thought about that. I didn't give her clear instructions. So my frustration was more with myself that I didn't give her the instruction I needed. So again, teaching respect is speaking clearly and communicating positively.
Excellent point. The second one is use good manners and common courtesies. It's not the end-all be-all, but they're very important. They're foundational to having a heart of respect. So good manners are really not overrated. I hope they never go out of style. In our modern culture, I don't know that we give enough attention to it. I think there was a time and place where the schools had different posture and position of honor in our society and did maybe more and complemented in a stronger way what ought to have been going on at home in that way. Let's not overlook that. Let's really promote good manners and common courtesies.
So that happens in intentional ways. You don't just assume that your children are catching it. I was probably 10 years old. It was a hot summer day in Perry, Oklahoma. First National Bank. My dad and I were going in. There was a lady behind us, and my dad opened the door for the lady and let her in first. And he looked at me and said, "That's what we always do. We open doors for ladies and we let them in first." My dad showed me, and then he told me what he did, and I've never forgotten that.
He labeled it.
Right.
It's an excellent example. And the culture today imposes obstacles, too. It's kind of like a dirty trick for parents, right? Just when we think we have it down, then video games are introduced into their repertoire.
Yeah.
And so that makes it harder, too, because children have something to focus on all the time now, whether they're riding in a car or coming into a building with you. Their attention isn't always on the environment. It's on their game. And so I see this a lot with this modern era, where children are not making simple things like eye contact. They're just paying attention to their game and so forth, mm-hmm. and not interacting in an appropriate way. And I see parents get a little frustrated and embarrassed sometimes, and they have to use the expression, sort of coach them up in that mm-hmm. way. And I am encouraged to see them doing that.
So here's one. I'm talking to you, and all of a sudden I feel this vibration of my phone, and I say, "Oh, hey, Bob, just hang on a minute. I got to go get this." What did I just do and what did I just show my kids?
Well, I think you're talking about what I did to you. I'm guilty
of
that.
I didn't want to bring it up that way. I didn't want to do counseling right here during the program. Yeah. But we can use the phone in a way that we would never do in the past, right?
I mean, right.
If we were talking to someone in the past and someone came up and butted in, we would say, "Hey, time out. That's being rude." And yet the phone thing right now is an easy example of that.
Exactly. So we're writing new rules.
Yeah.
Right. It's a little more complex sometimes.
And that's a great time to say there's no 1, 2, 3, read the book, do the parenting thing, and you got it down. There are always new situations coming up. We need discernment. That goes back to preparing ourselves. How are we going to parent well today? Certainly, there are things we can do intentionally, but there's going to be a new phone situation, a new video game situation. There's going to be something that distracts our child and us in this area of respect. And so we always have to have discernment in those areas.
So a simple how-to would be, if you know you're going to a place where you're going to meet some people, maybe for the first time, or be reintroduced to relatives or whatever the case may be, spend some time preparing for that. The following people are going to be present. If it's in a happy setting, tell them that this would be an appropriate mm-hmm. way to greet or be introduced. If it's in a situation, possibly a memorial service, here's a correct posture to carry, and here's a good thing that you can say. Mm-hmm. So preparing them in advance so that you're not disappointed with how they just responded out of their nature, and it creates a situation where certainly could have been better with some preparation.
So we're talking about positive talk. We're talking about 6 ways to mentor and model respect. So we're using positive communication and clear communication. We're emphasizing the importance of good old-fashioned manners and common courtesies. That comes from common sense, preparing ourselves as parents. What's number 3?
Number 3 is be the parent, Ron. If you're doing a great job at being the parent, you're taking responsibility for the role that God gave you in the lives of those children. You shouldn't always be the most popular person in town with your children. There's a time to say yes, and there's a time to say no. And if you're doing the modeling and mentoring, well, they should never be surprised by the answer you gave them.
But I want to be my child's best friend, and I want everyone coming over to the house, and, you know, we're going to have fun, and I'll take all the keys and put them there so if anything happens, they wouldn't be driving, you know, under the influence or anything. And I want my kids to have a good time. I want them to know that I'm accepting of them.
It's a pervasive attitude that sometimes has life-altering consequences in the lives of children. And sadly, as a principal, I saw many cases like that where parents wanted to delegate that role to a coach or to a teacher. Hey, you do the hard part for me. Tell them they can't do this or they must do that. And it's great to work in partnership with coaches and teachers and other people in the community. In fact, that's a sign of a great community, working together and shared values for the betterment of others. At the same time, that's not a responsibility that we can relinquish as parents.
Mm-hmm. Let's dig down on this one as we're teaching respect. Co-ed sleepovers. Our kids were invited to them. Your kids have been invited to them. Parents listening, their kids have been invited to them. The boys are going to sleep upstairs and the girls are going to sleep downstairs. And it's just all going to be fine. And I got to tell you, there's absolutely nothing good that can happen at a co-ed sleepover. We're talking about respect. And there's an aspect where if I'm going to respect the opposite sex, I don't have a sleepover with the opposite sex.
That's one that has come up where parents have talked with me about that. Again, as a school official, parents sometimes will ask you questions like that, and that's an easy one to respond to. It may be fine to attend the party, but when we get to the part about sleeping overnight, if it's going to be a case where boys and girls are both staying there, parent, go over and pick up your child and bring them home. If that's not okay with your child, then maybe they shouldn't attend the party.
Because you're the parent.
Right.
You don't have to be the most popular person in the room.
Right.
Bob, let's drill down on this one. Here's something that parents are going to deal with, and you dealt with this a ton as a parent and as a principal. There are those who will have a party at their house, and it's illegal, but there's alcohol there at the home because you got underage kids there. But they rationalize, well, I'm taking the keys, and I'm putting all the keys in a bowl, and I'm hiding the bowl, so no one's going to be driving under the influence. So if you were speaking to a parent about allowing their child to attend a party such as that, what's your advice?
Well, there's the negative ramifications to good intentions there. As parents, we want our children to be popular and have friends and have good experiences and all that. And it's hard sometimes to say no when there's only a social cost. But in this case, there's a legal cost, such that can be costly not only to parents, but also to the children's future. So you're putting a lot of people at risk over looking for an opportunity to be viewed in a positive light by your child and their friends. Mm-hmm. It just really doesn't make any sense when you're looking at your role as a parent.
So be the parent.
Be the parent.
When your child goes over to another home, what movie are they going to watch? We used to have our kids and probably embarrass them to death, but if it was a movie that they didn't think was appropriate, they had to call us and ask us. And sometimes we went and picked them up. An example of setting some parameters so your kids know in that situation, here's what I do.
Sure. Just maintaining a healthy connection with those other people in the community who are having an influence on your child. Mm-hmm. It could be a social activity at someone's home. It could be an event. Whatever it is, having a healthy connection, knowing what's going on and taking responsibility for it. Just because you allow them to go somewhere doesn't mean you approve of everything that's going to transpire there.
So I send my kid over to a house, and they're spending the night with a friend, and they're going to watch a movie, and my kid calls and says, hey, we're watching a movie that it's not appropriate. But wouldn't it be disrespectful if I called the parents to tell them, hey, here's a movie that I really don't approve of, or I'm coming to get my child, because I don't want to show disrespect to the parents. I mean, that's the rationale, right? Now, how do I address that situation using it as a great teaching tool for my kids?
So the teaching part of that really comes before the event ever occurs. It's talking with your child.
Great point.
Having that relationship with your child so that they know, what would my mother and father think of me being involved in this situation? And feeling open enough that they can tell you, hey, this is going on. What do you think? And there are ways where you can use finesse to not insult anybody, but to uphold some values that you have in your home. Maybe your child's just not ready for that. It's not really an experience you want them to have at that time. So you work out a plan that you're going to go and meet them somewhere, or you pick them up for some other reason. You don't have to insult someone. It doesn't mean that the other parents are always wrong in that case. It's just how they are parenting their own child at that time. Maybe right. Their child's more prepared for a situation.
All right, we're talking about 6 ways to build respect. Using positive and clear communication, emphasizing the importance of manners and common courtesies. Be the parent is 3. 4.
Speak respectfully about authority figures. We touched on this before when we talked about how to model and mentor respect in relationship to a child's teachers in school. Again, that can be transferred in other situations where there are authority figures. A couple of points to remember here, and again, we'll be reiterating these, but remember that parents, when they model, you also not only transfer the behaviors, and you model behaviors that are imitated, but also attitudes and beliefs. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, a child can feel licensed then to have a disrespectful attitude, certainly not an honoring posture to a teacher or a policeman or another authority figure.
So when there's authority figures in their lives, and there always will be, whether they're in the first grade or whether they're starting a career, we have to demonstrate how to speak respectfully of those authority figures, knowing we don't always agree, but we can disagree in a respectful way, whether it is a policeman or whether it is a teacher or whether it is an employer. It's important that we don't do some blanket statement, never disagree with authority. That's dangerous.
Right.
But this goes back into teaching our children being grounded in the Word, because we're modeling and mentoring that in the home. To have that screen, they can pour all these things they're hearing through and saying, you know, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't click right in my heart. But now I can have that conversation with another person without showing disrespect.
And none of these things are as simple as 1, 2, 3, but a basic ground rule to go by. The younger the child, the more concrete you want to be in terms of this is right and this is wrong. As children mature and get older and your relationship grows and you can talk about things more, the more they could see the gray areas and how to apply them in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right, 5, teach respect to the power of kindness and compassion. Bob, what do you mean by that?
It's a little more abstract, but it really fits well into the mentoring part of this parenting model. Another way to think about this is that children really can't be taught to be respectful. They can only be taught to give the appearance of being respectful. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what's in someone's heart, but I'm reminded of, again, we're showing our age here, but on the Leave It to Beaver show, the Eddie Haskell character. Yeah. Let's just say, for those of you who don't know Eddie Haskell, he was the model of insincerity.
Yeah.
So he could say the most respectful thing, but once you knew him, you were suspicious.
Right.
Okay,
right,
we'll leave it at that. So you can certainly give the appearance of being respectful, but then turn around and walk away and have a very disrespectful attitude or posture towards someone or something. So we really want to nurture a love for the value of respect, giving children opportunities to experience what it's like to be kind and in reciprocal fashion to have a kindness showed to you and how to respond to that. Because in that process, we learn and grow. And it's really a process that helps the heart to grow and help you to appreciate the value in being kind and showing compassion and also receiving it. And it's a great way to develop a respectful heart.
You're listening to The Journey. I'm here today with Dr. Bob Fredo. We're talking about parenting, modeling, and mentoring, show and tell. We are to impress these things on the lives of our children. We've titled this series Imprint. And we are talking about 6 ways to imprint the character of respect on the hearts and lives of our children. And I just want you to know that these 6 ways are on our blog, ronmoore.org. Click on parenting and you can see these 6 ways to build respect there. Bob, let's look at the last one. So we've talked about using positive and clear communication. We've talked about emphasizing the importance of manners and common courtesies. We've talked about being the parent. We've talked about being respectful about those in authority over us and teaching our children how to do that. Using the power of kindness and compassion. And the last one, the importance of responding to situations and spending our time in the proper way.
That's where the rubber meets the road, as we like to say. The easy thing to do would be teach respect in a laboratory in a mm-hmm. controlled situation. Here's mm-hmm. how you do it. The greater challenge is as we're living our lives. So as parents, we have to be ready. We have to be prepared and anticipate that we're going to be with our children when there are times we're maybe not going to be treated very well. Mm-hmm. And how we respond to something that's unfair or unkind will teach them more than we could ever teach them in a lesson. Right. So those are the times where we have to anticipate. We should not be surprised they're going to happen, but showing poise and self-control in a situation that maybe would warrant, and maybe justifiably so, a response that's less than respectful, but yet doing the right thing anyway and showing that poise and responding in a respectful way teaches children something in a very powerful way.
Demonstrating respect in every situation. And let's end on this one. I think this is a very practical one. And for me, a very easy one to kind of see how we spend our time. And being on time is a tremendous way to demonstrate respect. Time is a valuable commodity. It's clicking away right now as we're speaking. And when a person is waiting on us and we're late, then we're not demonstrating really respect to them. So a very practical way to demonstrate and model and mentor respect for a parent is to be on time. Can't tell your kid to be on time and you're not. To be on time, but also teach our children this is important. When we're late, we're using up the time of another person who's waiting on us. And so we want to be those who have a respect for a person's time. Very practical.
If you're early, you're on time.
If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, it's unacceptable. An elder told me that one time,
right.
And I've never forgotten that. But being on time is a critical way to demonstrate respect for people.
It's clear.
You've been listening to The Journey. I'm here today with Dr. Bob Fredo, who is working with me to teach the principles of parenting we believe you need to know and we all need to apply. And we are working to impress characteristics on the lives of our children. Today, we've been talking about impressing respect into the lives of our children. And we so thank you for listening to The Journey.
And Ron and Bob will continue their discussion of show and tell parenting in our next broadcast. Please stay with us for a preview of that conversation. Are you living a life of spiritual transformation? Or do you feel stalled in a dry and lukewarm faith? Well, you can take steps now to energize your walk with Jesus and leave religious pretense behind. That happens when God's Word takes up residence in the deepest recesses of your soul. Start that journey today with Ron Moore's 12-chapter interactive study titled Living Grounded. Within the 242 pages of this handsome, full-color book, you'll discover the foundational truths of Christianity. Among the many important topics explained in Living Grounded are how to know God's will, how to study the Bible, and how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Living Grounded is available for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron and Bob for a preview of our next broadcast.
Today we want to talk about this character trait of responsibility. Now, what are the things you would see a person doing to say, okay, now that's a responsible person?
I think this used to be an easier question to answer. We're both old enough to remember a time when parents and adults would let you know what was your responsibility and have expectations you would carry it out. And I always like to refer back to words that ring in my head. Although it's granted that God thinks I'm special, I'm really no one special when it comes to whether or not I have to do my chores or take care of the things that are under my responsibility and control. In terms of trying to define that now, it's very important that we consider what's developmentally appropriate, because we don't want to be in a position as parents that we go from one extreme to the other, but with consistency and intentionality to give them responsibilities that are within their sphere of control. And as their sphere of influence begins to broaden, they begin to take on more responsibility.
We hope you can join us for that conversation next time. And please remember that a copy of Ron's interactive study, Living Grounded, is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Whether you're a new Christian or a believer who wants to make your spiritual foundation sure, you'll grow in Christ with Living Grounded. Again, our address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. By the way, if you miss any of the messages in this series, you'll find them on the front page of our website at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to keep this ministry on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Bob next time as we walk together on the journey.